7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Trump administration has rescinded its sweeping directive seeking to pause potential trillions in federal funding, financial assistance, research, and foreign aid. That according to an Office of Management and Budget memo obtained by ABC News. The president's nominee to head Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., facing tough questioning at his confirmation hearing before the Senate Finance Committee. Kennedy has been coming under fire for his stance on vaccines and also his opening statement claiming that he's not anti-vaccine.
My advocacy, I've often disturbed the status quo by asking uncomfortable questions. Well, I'm not going to apologize for that. We have massive health problems in this country that we must face honestly.
The newly launched Chinese-owned DeepSeek AI app, offering a less expensive model compared to U.S. AI models, sent tech stocks in turmoil this week. American tech companies OpenAI and Microsoft reportedly investigating DeepSeek. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Funding for the UW system could be in jeopardy under the Trump administration's attempt to pause federal payments. The White House instructed federal agencies to stop paying grants and loans and indicated those payments wouldn't resume for at least a few weeks. A judge blocked that move yesterday just before it could go into effect. But for now, things are in limbo. That includes for the universities of Wisconsin. About a third of the funding for the UW system comes from federal money, according to the Wisconsin State Journal. Now, this attempted move by the Trump administration, if it went into effect, would not apply to payments that go directly to individuals, like Medicare, Social Security, and student loans. But the system gets the biggest chunk of federal money for contracts and grants, not student loans. And that funding would stop. UW-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Mnookin called it all concerning. The university was already dealing with the Trump administration's pause in federal funding for research. UW-Madison's research efforts rank sixth in the nation. And the Center for Black Excellence in Culture has a new face on its leadership team. Wisconsin native Jason Fields will be the center's chief operating officer. He was the president of the Madison Region Economic Partnership. The center is expected to open next year. And two Wisconsin cities made the top five Midwest cities to move to in 2025. Consumer Affairs compiled a list by looking at 100 of the most populated Midwest cities and evaluating their safety, affordability, economy, education, and quality of life. Appleton came in at number 4 and Waukesha number 5. It ranked Carmel, Indiana, the best Midwestern city to move to. Numbers 2 and 3 were Naperville, Illinois, and Arlington Heights, Illinois, respectively, both suburbs of Chicago. According to the analysis, the worst city in the Midwest to move to is Detroit, Michigan. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
It's the Badgers and the Terrapins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers are at the University of Maryland tonight to take on the Terrapins, named after the Diamondback Terrapins, a small turtle found around Chesapeake Bay. It's been their mascot since 1933. Now, 6 of the Badgers' next 8 games are on the road, but Greg Gard says it. No big deal.
We'll have some nice box meals for us, I'm sure, turn in when we fly to Maryland, stay in a good hotel. Right? There's much more difficult things in life. I don't think it's a big deal. Go play. Where do they want us to play next? All right, we'll be there.
Number 9th ranked Marquette on the road last night, beating Butler 78-69. NBA, the Bucks losing again in Portland, 125-117. Milwaukee simply could not stop the Trailblazers.
I thought they got what they wanted all game, honestly. I never thought we established any kind of defensive presence throughout the game.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Just a little cooler today with a mix of sun and clouds and breezy winds still. As high temperatures reach 40 degrees, tonight they'll slide to the mid-20s. And for tomorrow, likely some record-breaking highs because we're going to soar to the mid-50s. We'll be soaking up the sunshine and feeling like spring. I'm meteorologist Brittany Rilau.
It's 43 degrees at our studios.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6th rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. The John and Gordy Show.
Talking with Mike McCabe, Substack blogger and author.
You have an interesting article in Substack about AI.
Think about any decision, whether it's to push a button and launch a missile, or whether to hire or fire somebody in a workplace. We want the answers faster, and then we want to get to the next topic, and that's where there could be the death of wisdom.
Boy, absolutely.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Angela Lang from Block Black Leaders Organizing Communities joins me to talk about not good test scores coming out of the city of Milwaukee. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11. Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. And streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour 2 of the big program. Many thanks to Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olson for being on in hour 1. It is Wednesday, January 29th, 2025. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
Pump Day!
There you go. It is the middle of the week, Zommerama. And, it feels like Friday.
It does. That's weird, but it does.
I wish it were Friday. But we're here in the middle of the week. We're glad to have you along. Another big hour straight ahead. Take a little look at the news on a couple of lighter things. And also ask you what's worse in just a moment. Want to remind you a programming note. I believe that Pat Kreitlow said it earlier. Very exciting tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., on the Civic Media Radio Network, our friend and colleague Earl Ingram going to have Joan Crawford. No, Susan Crawford. Wouldn't that be something, though, if Joan Crawford were
that
on
would.
The show?
Different Crawford.
Yeah. No, it's Susan Crawford. She is the liberal candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court. She's going to be on the Earl Ingram program tomorrow at 9 a.m. Should be absolutely fantastic. Get to know Judge Crawford and find out more about the Supreme Court race. That's tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up tonight, are you a basketball fan? Well, of course you are, especially Wisconsin men's basketball. The Badgers are in Maryland tonight. I should have asked Trigvi if he was going tonight to the game out there in D.C., but, you know, Maryland's close by. But Wisconsin at Maryland, big game for the Wisconsin Badgers. The pregame show kicks off at 5 o'clock this afternoon, early start time. For Wisconsin, 5 o'clock broadcast for the pregame show. You can hear the game if you're in the beautiful towns of Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. And if you're not, guess what? We have you covered because you can also download the Civic Media app and enjoy it for free. Simply go to your app store, Apple, Android device, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It takes less than a minute. It's free. It's what Gail King at CBS calls ideal. So there you go. The Civic Media app. Go to the stations I mentioned. Click on that. 5 o'clock. You can hear the game for free. Badgers taking on Maryland. 5 o'clock with the pregame show.
Jeff Perry on Facebook comments, Zamarama? I've never heard that one either, Jeff.
I think that's a new one.
It's an improvisation.
That, by the way, that happens quite a bit on this show. People ask, were things planned? And I say, are you kidding me? Look at this show. We come in, we turn on the microphone, we see what happens.
So that's drastically underselling the amount of preparation and work Todd does.
but no, it's fun just to talk.
This is true.
You know, that's what we do here. Anyway, 9 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. This, all right.
choice is yours.
You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that.
Time once again for What's Worse. No prizes to give away, no cash money involved, but your chance to hear yourself across the statewide Civic Media Radio Network, 11 stations in all bright and beautiful and shining. I think our feed up at the Tap up at Eau Claire undergoing a makeover today. They're getting a new makeup. I believe so. They're getting they're adjusting the antenna so that the signal goes out even further. So that'll be fantastic. You can still hear us though on the Civic Media app on WCFW, the Tap via the Civic Media app. All right, here we go. What's worse? And this is fantastic because both annoy me.
For me, it's not remotely close.
Really? All right, I'll look forward to this in nervous anticipation. What's worse? Seeing someone, watching someone bite their fingernails, or hearing the sound of fingernails on a chalkboard? What's worse? Seeing or witnessing, watching someone bite their fingernails, or hearing the sound of fingernails on a chalkboard. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Let us know what you think. Because people have, you alluded to this, strong feelings. So is it watching someone bite their fingernails or hearing the sound of fingernails on a chalkboard? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Gary in beautiful Sussex. Gary, what's worse, seeing somebody bite their fingernails or hearing the sound of fingernails on the old chalkboard?
Well, when the guy pumps my septic tank, if I saw him chewing on his fingernails, I guess that would be the worst.
You've reached a new category, right? That would be a heck of a lot worse.
That's what I say.
All right, thanks, Gary.
Chewing on the fingernails.
All right.
Thanks, bye.
Hey, thank you. I really appreciate the call. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What is worse, watching someone bite their fingernails or hearing the sound of fingernails on a chalkboard? And Gary points out, I forgot to do the setup on this today, by the way. Gary points out why I think this is an interesting topic, because we are right in the middle, just ask us here at Civic Media, in the middle of the cold and flu season. And if, you know, we have
disinfecting wipes.
Thank you. That's fantastic. We have disinfecting wipes here that we use to wipe everything down. But even still, if you've got your hands in your mouth or you touch your eyes, that's the other thing people don't talk about, is your eyes, you can get the germs. And so this is a great question for the old cold and flu season. What's worse, seeing someone bite their fingernails or hearing the sound of fingernails on a chalkboard? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. We'd love to hear from you on this. It's the question of the day in the cold and flu season, as it turns out. Here's a listener on WMDX here in Madison, one of our great plumbers. And God love all the people in the service industry, the trades industry out there. Plumbers who keep our things, our everything flowing this time of year. The plumber says, as a plumber, it's definitely worse to see someone chew their nails. Kind of to Gary's point earlier. And listening in beautiful Chippewa Falls, via WAUK, says, fingers if you're talking germs, but chalkboard if you're talking about a sound. That's a great qualifier. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Luis, listening in Madison. Luis, what's worse, seeing someone bite their fingernails or hearing the sound of fingernails on a chalkboard?
Oh, hey, Todd. I can close my eyes and not see someone devour their fingernails. But even if I close my eyes, I still have to hear that sound on the chalkboard. So I think the chalkboard is much worse.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate your listening. Right? That sound, but here's an interesting point. With fewer chalkboards in schools, It doesn't have the same effect like on a whiteboard.
It does not.
You know what I mean?
But similar noises, though.
Right. Similar. Those grating noises on your ears, right? What's worse? Either watching someone bite their fingernails or hearing someone's fingernails on a chalkboard. 855-752-4842. Elliot, watching on the old YouTube. We appreciate it, Elliot. 1,000%, he says, hearing nails on a chalkboard. There are few sounds that are worse. No equivocation there whatsoever. Greg in beautiful Genesee Depot listening on WAUK says, seeing someone bite their fingernails. I watch Braun bite his fingernails all through his season. All right. Yeah, a lot of athletes have kind of that nervous tick. What else we have there on the old text line, Zomers? We'll kind of go through some of the, I guess. Chris, listening in Blue River on WRCE, saying fingernails on a chalkboard are far worse. For me, seeing someone chew their toenails is preferable to fingernails on a chalkboard. Wow.
Chris, I could not agree more. I would rather see somebody chewing someone else's toenails who hasn't showered in 3 months than hear nails on a chalkboard.
Wow. Zomers with the quick way in there. And Chris brings up all kinds of things here. I'm not sure. I'm not limber enough anymore to chew my toenails. But, that'd be gross. But so Zomers, you are 100% in on like Elliot, on the sound.
Yeah. For me, like if I see someone chewing their nails, whatever, I can get over it. But if I hear it, there's certain sounds like that or like two pieces of styrofoam rubbing together, like that particular kind of sound that like I just feel it in my jaw and my inner ear and it gives me shivers and I hate it so much.
I guess with the biting of the fingernails, most of the time we could either look away or just close our eyes or whatever. Where to the point you're making there that if you're in the vicinity, it may be harder to get away from the sound of chalkboard. Or like you say, there are other sounds out there that really set people off as well. So like, ooh, gross. Len, listening in Madison, says, I was saying earlier, chalkboards are old school. Dry erase boards are remarkable. Well, there's a vote for dry erase boards.
They are remarkable.
They are remarkable, yeah. Not just once, not just twice, but you can mark them over and over again. Chris, listening in Janesville, via WMDX, says the noise sticks with you.
It does. It sits in that spot in the middle of my head.
It gives you a little bit of the heebie-jeebies just listening to it, right?
Just thinking about listening to it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Our ongoing contributor, Jeff Perry, of Zomer's Remarks, says, now that's a Zomerama. Thank you. We brought in a canned studio audience for today's show.
Yes, we did. Or I did, anyway.
Yeah, you did. You did. What's worse, seeing or watching someone bite their fingernails or hearing the sound of fingernails on a chalkboard? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Or you could text us on the old Civic Media app. It is a little bit of depends, but I would tend to agree on this one with Zomers. I think that hearing that sound is the instantaneous, or if I see someone gnawing on their fingernails, I tend to just be like, oh, gross, and like look away.
Right.
But so, I mean, some people are like, I've known people that would bite their knuckles to the point where they're raw, or bite their fingernails until there's nothing left.
That's just unfortunate.
Right down to the bone. It's a nervous tick. All right, we'll come back. Should we wrap it up? We'll keep the lines open, but that's where we are. What's the worst? Come on back. More newsy news on the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
To Sugar River Pizza in Sun Prairie yet?
Oh, yeah,
it's
amazing.
Yeah,
I know. I love the pizza.
Pizza is ridiculous. That crust.
Right, and they have 48
beers on tap and a great selection of wines.
And the atmosphere.
Not only is the restaurant gorgeous.
That room with the giant windows
that open. Yeah. And they won a Best of Madison Gold Award this year.
I love Sugar River
Pizza on Cabela Drive in Sun Prairie.
You took the words right out of my
mouth.
Yep. SugarRiverPizza.com.
Oh, so you have heard of it.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government
Buy-in for the people. American voters identifying as independent are the largest group of voters at 43%, according to recent Gallup polling. Depending on what kind of primary election your state parties have, millions of unaffiliated voters may not be able to vote. A bill in the U.S. House called the Let America Vote Act would change that. The National Conference of State Legislatures counts 10 states with closed primaries, allowing only party members to vote, and another 9 with partially closed primaries. 22 states have primaries open to unaffiliated voters. The bipartisan bill introduced January 3rd includes the right for any voter to vote in any taxpayer-funded election, and for unaffiliated voters to vote in any primary for federal office. It would withhold election assistance funding for states not allowing unaffiliated voters to vote in state and local elections and help to fund transitions to open primary systems. It prohibits any non-citizen from voting in federal elections, but also withholds election funding from states if non-citizens are allowed to vote in state or local elections, currently allowed in only 16 municipalities in the U.S. Primaries are often low turnout elections, which often bring out party activists, resulting in more extreme candidates. Allowing independent voters could pressure candidates to campaign to the middle and moderate more extreme positions. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. 21 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on Wednesday, January 29th. We'll keep the phone lines, the votes open here for a little while longer on the what's worse today. What's worse, watching someone bite their fingernails, chew on them, or hearing someone put their fingernails down a blackboard? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Also text us on the Civic Media app. Kirk texting in from beautiful Eau Claire, Wisconsin today. He says, you weren't joking. Your show just went off the air in Chippewa Falls. Well, that's why I wanted to give you a heads up. Nothing to be concerned about. In fact, be excited about it because we're helping get even greater signals out there. A great upgrading. Engineering team upgrading. And in the meantime, just download the old Civic Media app and you can click on AUK, Eau Claire there. Or not CFW, Eau Claire, the tap. You have the music side as well in the tap. Or one of the other first 11 stations. We're on 11 stations across the state of Wisconsin. You're yawning, Zommers. Am I boring you?
No. I should have gotten more sleep.
You and I both, my friend. It was one of those nights where I woke up at about 3 o'clock, and I don't know if I got back to bed before 5.
Yeah, I had trouble both falling and staying asleep. Sometimes really? It just happens.
Yeah. Because as I said, I went down to beautiful Monroe last night to see the father of my godsons, mi compadre. I hadn't seen each other in a long time. We had a beverage and kind of caught up a little bit. And then I was back at a reasonable hour. I think I was back by 9 or 10 or so. Watched a little news. And I thought, well, I'll watch the opening of Colbert. And the next thing I know, I wake up in my chair and it's like 3. And then you try to go to the back to bed. And you're just like, no. You lay there and hem and haw.
Dave in New Berlin says, yeah. I'm a nail biter. It's pretty bad. Nails really? Down a blackboard is worse. You know, if,
wow.
PSA for people out there who bite their nails and don't want to, you can purchase bitter clear nail polish. So you paint your nails, but no one sees it if you're, you know, if you're not someone who normally paints your nails, but it tastes bad to help break the habit.
Now here's news you can use. I'm going to tune in for some news and information, but here, this is beyond state news. This is beyond local news. This is personal news you can use, and Zommers has brought it to us today, and I appreciate it. Nail polish to help you stop biting your nails.
Yep. You can just look up clear, bitter nail polish, and you can find
it. Really? I've learned something new. Well, Dave, I get it. Dave in New Berlin saying that, yeah, I mean, some people, it's more like a nervous tic, right? It's hard to stop it. Tyler, listening up in beautiful Wisconsin Rapids. Oh, Wisconsin Rapids. WFHR, our great team up there. Lovely town, lovely station. Robert Shaw, he says, quote, Robert Shaw got the attention of the bickering townsfolks of Pleasant Grove with fingernails on a chalkboard, and later a shark chewed Robert's nails on jaws. I forgot that part. A lot of movies. We should ask our friend Pete Schraba on Nightlight every night from 6 to 8. The history of fingernails in cinema.
I bet there's a very deep history.
You know, we could talk about it all day and just barely scratch the surface. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, appreciate that. That's very interesting. All right, 25 past the hour of 1 o'clock here. We'll continue to take calls and thoughts on that. I want to turn a page on something. And again, there's so much coming out of D.C. today that I think we just have to kind of limit ourselves a little bit and think of terms of what's helpful and what's not. This is something I simply want to make sure that it doesn't go unnoticed. There's a lot of people, probably a lot of folks that are regular listeners of Civic Media that are not necessarily huge fans of former President George W. Bush. Just a guess.
I think that guess is probably correct.
Yes. But even the most liberal of folks, notably Hollywood, people like Matt Damon and others, have said, you know what, the one caveat on the George W. Bush presidency is he set aside partisanship and he got PEPFAR, international program, long had bipartisan support, was created under the George W. Bush presidency in 2003 that helped save millions of lives in Africa for HIV/AIDS. Well, President Donald Trump has paused funding for the popular and effective program for distributing those HIV/AIDS medications, as we said, known as PEPFAR, stands for the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. As a result of Trump's January 20th executive order halting the vast majority of foreign aid for at least 90 days, his administration has also ordered those medications already on the shelves to not be distributed. Since it was created in 2003 by President George W. Bush, PEPFAR, which has a $6.5 billion annual budget, has saved an estimated, wait for it, 26 million lives. 26 million lives saved and prevented millions of infections, according to the State Department. Yet the pause in funding, State Department spokesperson Tammy Bruce told NPR National Public Radio, quote, is a moral imperative, unquote. The U.S., she said, is, quote, no longer going to blindly dole out money with no return for the American people, unquote. Really? Saving 26 million lives plus not a good enough return for the Trump administration. Donald Trump famously told Howard Stern back in 1997 that avoiding AIDS and STDs was his own, quote, personal Vietnam, unquote. He went on to say, quote, it's amazing. I can't even believe it. I've been so lucky in terms of that whole world. It's a dangerous world out there. It's like Vietnam, sort of. It was my own personal Vietnam. I feel like a great and very brave soldier, unquote, Trump said. Trump's mentor, Roy Cohen, was not so lucky, however, dying from the virus in 1986. The bulk of PEPFAR's work takes place in developing nations where patients are already being turned away, the New York Times has reported. Former President Joe Biden's administration chief of staff for PEPFAR told the outlet, quote, this is another domino in the devastating impact of the harmful freeze to programs, leaving lives hanging in the balance. Not sure much more I can add to that one. Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The fight over Wisconsin's Act 10 continues. In December, a Dane County judge overturned portions of the controversial law that banned collective bargaining for many public workers. Groups like police and firefighters were exempt. They still had the right to bargain, which is why the judge struck it down. Republicans are appealing to the state Supreme Court. Now, legislators on both sides of the aisle are pushing Supreme Court justices to recuse themselves in the case. Lisa Hale reports.
Two Wisconsin Supreme Court justices have been asked to step away from ruling on Act 10. Republican lawmakers are asking Justice Janet Protasiewicz to step aside in the case that seeks to overturn a 2011 law that ended collective bargaining for most state workers. Protasiewicz campaigned as an opponent of Act 10 when she ran for justice in 2023. She called the law unconstitutional. Conservative Justice Brian Hagedorn helped draft Act 10 when he was Governor Scott Walker's chief legal counsel, and Democratic lawmakers have asked him to recuse himself from the case.
And there's another fundraiser for the Abundant Life Christian School community today. This one is at Papa Murphy's. 50% of all online sales will go into the ALCS Recovery Fund. Now, if you want to contribute, you have to place your order online and use the code BELIEVE at checkout. There are 17 of the take-and-bake pizza places participating across southern Wisconsin. And warm temperatures for January. We hit nearly 50 degrees here in the Madison area yesterday. The record for January 28th was 52 degrees, so we didn't quite get there here in the state's capital city. But some spots in northeast Wisconsin did. Green Bay, Appleton, and Oshkosh all broke records for warm temperatures for the day at 48 and 49 degrees. Tomorrow, we've got a high of 50. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Lady Gaga is not used to getting bad reviews when it comes to her music or acting. That ended big time when Joker Folie à Deux was panned by critics and audiences alike. Gaga put things in perspective in a recent chat with Elle magazine, saying people just sometimes don't like some things. She sounded unfazed, though, continuing that fear of failure is worse than actual failure, and if it takes over, can cause mayhem. Don't you hate it when your parole officer puts the kibosh on you hosting Saturday Night Live? Martha Stewart sure does. She whined to the perfect audience on The Tonight Show starring cheerleader Jimmy Fallon about how she missed her opportunity to host the show 20 years ago because of said parole officer. Maybe she'll get another opportunity since time has passed since she was convicted for conspiracy and obstruction of justice, as well as an insider trading scandal. It's so stressful when rich celebrities don't get everything they want. Maybe she can cry on her equally as annoying BFF Snoop Dogg's shoulder. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Just a little cooler today with a mix of sun and clouds and breezy winds still. As high temperatures reach 40 degrees, tonight they'll slide to the mid-20s. And for tomorrow, likely some record-breaking highs. Because we're going to soar to the mid-50s. We'll be soaking up the sunshine and feeling like spring. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau.
It's 43 degrees at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in this state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Mr. Green Bay showbiz himself, Frank Hermans, who joins me in studio to discuss his new show. Then I talk movies and TV with the Wisconsin Film Festival's Ben Reiser.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Wherever it may lead, and heaven. having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along. Want to weigh in on a Wednesday here? Feel free. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. I was talking earlier with Trigvi Olson about the fact that the Trump administration a couple days ago here put out a sudden freeze on federal spending, and then about an hour ago came out and said, actually, no, not so much. Just kidding. And they left, gave an order out that they were rescinding that freeze.
Just kidding. For now.
For now. Cindy in Appleton wanted to weigh in. Cindy, thanks for very much for calling. What say you?
Well, regarding this whole freeze thing, I don't really understand how people don't see the total ramifications of this, because this is going to put our country, as far as I'm concerned, in a huge vulnerability of national security. And I don't understand why Pinocchio's administration and all the Republicans would want to put us into a national security compromise position. I just, for the life of me, can't wrap myself around that one.
Yeah, I think I appreciate the call, Cindy. My two cents, I think it's a combination, right? I think it part of it is there are inexperienced people. Remember Trump, the first Trump administration? He brought in people like Reince Priebus from Wisconsin, John Kelly, list goes on and on. People who some of them you might have agreed with, some not, but at least they were experienced in government. At least they had a modicum of respect for the institutional norms for the Constitution. And by and large, not all, but many of the people that Trump has brought in 2.0 simply don't have that experience or ethos, and that's what Trump has said he wants. He doesn't want people around him saying no anymore. So part of it, like this order that was given out a couple days ago now, that was rescinded on freezing government spending, it may well be just people completely inexperienced who didn't know what they were really doing. Well, we want to do this. Well, you have to define that before you do it. To Trigvi's point, Trigvi Olson earlier, look, I work for federal government. I'm not saying that there aren't needs to make sure that we're spending taxpayer money wisely, but you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. There are lots of federal programs that are integral and important to Wisconsinites' everyday lives. And then the other part of it is I think there are people in Trump World 2.0 who want the chaos is the point, right? To divide us amongst ourselves so that the oligarchs, the rich folks that were sitting in the front row at the Trump inauguration that control social media can divide us amongst ourselves so that we think our neighbor is the enemy instead of the people sitting in the front row at the inauguration and the politicians. And so we hate each other. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Mark in Prairie du Sac. Mark, thanks for calling in. What's up?
Yeah, I don't know if you saw it yet, but there's a fire warning for Columbia County that I just got a notification on my phone because it's extremely dry weather. And that's one of the reasons I haven't had a fire this winter. It's because no snow on the ground and everything's dry, and a single spark can light up a good chunk of the state if we're not careful. And for all these people that are naysaying about firefighting, I mean, if you have dry conditions and, you know, 25 to 40 mile an hour winds, we could have some nastiness right here in the state of Wisconsin, you know, that rather than getting off on beating on the people in California, because there's nothing you can do about the wind. I mean, in spite of what some of MAGA thinks, that you can't control the weather. I mean, that there are no Jewish space lasers out there generating wind.
I just tried to look it up. I can't. Are you talking? This is like the conditions are so dry in Columbia County that the DNR puts up these warnings.
I think there are some actual fires going, and because it is dry. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, it's still dry. I mean, it's like a red flag warning up north when you know the snow's gone and things haven't greened up yet. That you see those all the time. Every spring you see those up north.
I'm looking at the Wisconsin DNR www.wi.gov site right now. And basically, if you go from Appleton over, pardon me, Green Bay over to La Crosse, everything south of that is in a moderate fire danger, according to the DNR, and everything north of that is low. But that doesn't discount the fact there may well be an active fire in Columbia County. So I appreciate you calling that in, Mark. We'll look into that. Certainly be careful. I mean, one of the dangers, right, when you're on the interstate or any road and the smoke from the fire crosses that roadway, that just brings it down to zero visibility sometimes and could create some pretty bad driving conditions and accidents. So as we say, use your wisdom and be smart and don't try to, you know, drive through that stuff. Appreciate the call. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Tom, listening on WMDX in beautiful McFarland. Tom, thanks for calling in. You want to talk about the funding and the freeze that has now been lifted.
Well, exactly. And I think that, again, bigger picture, the benchmarks of our overall economic prosperity is this idea that the government is stable, that you can rely on the American government for sound policy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Trump and Republicans, just for something along these and a spending freeze without thinking things through, they're sending a message of chaos. Trump and his tariffs, as we're speaking right now, the Latin American countries, they are meeting and they're forming an economic union specifically to see the United States as an adversary. They no longer see us as a trading partner. They're now seeing us as adversarial, thanks in large part to Trump and the Republicans. This doesn't go away once Trump is gone. This is stuff that's going to be hitting with us for, like, years and years, which will be difficult to repair. And the Republicans' response is, let's go after DEI, as if that has anything to do with how the rest of the world is seeing us. We're in for some scary times just from an economic perspective beyond what is right in front of us.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Tom. Thank you so very much. I agree that, again, and this is something we've talked openly about on this show, is how much of the sideshow do we cover and talk about, and how much of that is meant as a distraction and to divide us, to your point. Now, I think some of these things are important. We have to remain cognizant and be aware. I think it's important information, but not to dwell on it, right? Because at the end of the day, what happens in our neighborhoods, our towns, our villages, our cities, our state, those are the things that we have direct or at least more direct control over. We can organize. We can run for offices locally and in the state. We can hold our local elected officials more accountable. And quite frankly, we could also just reach out and make friends. Remember that? Get off our screens. Get off our phones, our devices. Join a local service organization, Rotary, Lions, Kiwanis, what have you. If you're involved, if you're a religious person in your church, lots of towns across Wisconsin, cities, villages have local thrift shops where the money goes for a food pantry. Volunteer at a food pantry. Those are all things that desperately need our help and assistance as Wisconsinites that we can continue to work towards and on. That actually help break down these barriers that folks in D.C., the MAGA administration, are trying to put up. So great call. Great point. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Love to hear from you on any of this or any other phone or any other subject you might want to talk about as well. I wanted to get to this. Comes to us from TMJ4.com on their story from yesterday, that Republicans who control the Wisconsin legislature want to ban phones and other electronic devices in K-12 classrooms. How do you feel about this? Republicans wanting to ban phones and electronic devices in K-12 classrooms. Similar bans, according to the story, have been signed into law by both Democrats and Republicans in at least 8 other states across the country. The measure brought forward in Wisconsin earlier this month would require local school districts to create their own policies banning phones, laptops, and gaming devices during instructional time, with exceptions for electronics that are used for educational purposes and in cases of emergency. Quote from Republican Representative Joel Kitchens in the Assembly, says, quote, "We know it's not going away. This is not going to solve everything. Kids are still going to be getting on social media at night," Kitchens said, "but we really need to teach them to use it responsibly, so hopefully they can learn when to put it aside and concentrate on what you're doing," unquote. Many schools across the state have policies in place restricting the use of smartphones and other devices in class, but Kitchen says those policies have been largely ineffective. Some Wisconsin schools have introduced phone bans only to roll them back after facing backlash from students and parents. How do you feel about this? Phones and electronic devices in classrooms. And again, as a former Republican who left the party in 2011, I find this striking and interesting, to say the least, because for years when I was involved, one of the mantras was government closest to the people works best. And I actually tend to believe that. Not tend to believe that, I do believe that. And it was all about local control. And really starting with former Governor Scott Walker and Act 10, and not just that, but other bills and laws, or bills that became laws. I don't know in my career, 30 years in politics and government, if I ever saw a bigger reach by state government to mandate things on local municipalities than during the Walker administration. I come from a family of educators, and believe me, this is a tough road to hoe if you're an educator. Because some schools literally use laptops in the teaching. I mean,
and that number is increasing drastically.
I mean, Zomers, you've been in school a lot more recently than I have. Were electronic devices, laptops and such used in your classroom?
Yes. I graduated in 2017, and when I was in, I believe, seventh grade, our school district got a grant or a donation from somebody. I don't remember exactly how it worked, but I do remember we started getting laptops for each student, and I helped roll that out. We had to fix some stuff with it, but eventually, yeah, everyone had a laptop or a Chromebook, and we used them in class, in almost every class every day.
I know in some school districts, teachers are allowed to say devices or phones away. You have to put them in your backpack or whatever during class.
Personally, I think that should be allowed.
Yeah, that's a pretty easy thing just for an educator teacher to see. Some schools actually allow teachers to have like a basket or whatever when the students come in the classroom in the door. They put their phones in the basket and the teacher puts that on their desk or whatever, and then they're allowed to pick them up as they go out the door. And again, it seems to me local school districts should be able to handle that the way that they see fit. I don't know that we need a state law, because then who's going to enforce that? Are we going to have state inspectors coming into classrooms all across the country? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Brian in beautiful Maguanago. Brian, thanks for calling. What say you?
Well, I'm not a parent, so you would think I should just probably step aside and keep quiet. But
hey, everybody's got a viewpoint. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just think it's a horrible idea to ban them, because another huge problem we have in schools are people with guns. So, you know, I would not want my kid in school to not have the ability to contact either dial 911 or call myself.
Yeah.
So I would not, put them away when you're in class, but I would not in any way take them away from, you know, students. But the other thing is that if this is a Republican-led bill, then it's guaranteed there's ulterior motives. And I hate that I have to say that nowadays, but Democrats need to start playing the game that way from here on out.
Appreciate it, Brian. Thank you so much. I'm up against the clock. I have not read the bill. I'm only going by the story here. But, yeah, I tend to agree. You want kids to be able to call from school. Back after this on Civic Media.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. This is Chad Spate. Are you thinking about improving your home? At Chad's Design Build, we're proud to offer remodeling done well with love. And our commitments to you and your home convey that love and spell our name. The Chad's experience is structured to provide excellent communication, honesty, accuracy, detailed proposals, and satisfied customers. We're also committed to making your home comfortable, healthy, attractive, durable, and sustainable. If you want a quality remodel and a quality remodeling experience, go to ChadsDesignBuild.com to learn more.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. American voters identifying as independent are the largest group of voters at 43%, according to recent Gallup polling. Depending on what kind of primary election your state parties have, millions of unaffiliated voters may not be able to vote. A bill in the U.S. House called the Let America Vote Act would change that. The National Conference of State Legislatures counts 10 states with closed primaries, allowing only party members to vote, and another 9 with partially closed primaries. 22 states have primaries open to unaffiliated voters. The bipartisan bill introduced January 3rd includes the right for any voter to vote in any taxpayer-funded election, and for unaffiliated voters to vote in any primary for federal office. It would withhold election assistance funding for states not allowing unaffiliated voters to vote in state and local elections and help to fund transitions to open primary systems. It prohibits any non-citizen from voting in federal elections, but also withholds election funding from states if non-citizens are allowed to vote in state or local elections, currently allowed in only 16 municipalities in the U.S. Primaries are often low turnout elections, which often bring out party activists, resulting in more extreme candidates. Allowing independent voters could pressure candidates to campaign to the middle and moderate more extreme positions. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock. Coming up at the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations across the Civic Media statewide radio network that you listen to, followed by some weather. Great sports reporter Mike Clemens fills us in. Don't forget, Wisconsin men's basketball on the road tonight. Maryland is the opponent at Maryland. Early pregame time this afternoon at 5 p.m. can be heard over the airwaves in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. If you're not in one of those great communities, download the Civic Media app, and you can hear it for free on the app via one of those stations. Again, starting at 5 o'clock, Wisconsin at Maryland. Coming up after news, weather, and sports at the top of the hour, the Maggie Dawn Show, along with Aaron Zomers. You ever watch the old Jerry Lewis telethons? And they go for hours and hours, and by the end, Jerry Lewis just looked done in. And
I'm not actually producing your show today.
Oh, you're not? Oh, no. Okay.
Corey and or Jamie are doing that time.
Well, very good. Wanted to give you credit because you're doing yeoman's work. And you're getting it done. So God love you. We appreciate you, Zomers. And then after a Maggie Dawn show, the aforementioned Dom Salvia show from 4 until 6. 6 o'clock, Pete Schwabe and Night White, followed by Rick Smith Across America and the great Robert Pilot and Native Roots Radio. Another fantastic lineup here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Talking about this bill authored by Republican Joel Kitchens in the state legislature, which would require local school districts to create their own policies banning phones, laptops, and gaming devices during instructional time, with exceptions for electronics that are used for educational purposes and in cases of emergency. To me, seems an overstep by my former party. I say leave it to the local school districts, because how is the state going to send people in to police this or what? 855-752-4842. Let's go to Jack in Merrimack. Jack, thanks for holding. What say you?
Well, on the phones thing, you know that I taught for over 40 years.
Indeed. We appreciate all your service, Jack.
Thank you. But towards the end, anyway, In the testing situation, I allowed my students to use their phones because there's calculators that'll do anything that a dedicated calculator will do on almost all phones nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unfortunately, that changed really fast because the second semester that I had that policy, one of the study hall teachers intercepted a text, and the text was literally asking for the answer to one of the problems on the test.
Wow.
And at that point I got I had to do something, and what I did was I got a bunch of calculators, and fortunately the principal I was working with was very cooperative with almost everything I did in my classes, because I generally had a pretty good result.
Mm-hmm.
And he ordered me up a couple dozen dedicated calculators, and the students were no longer allowed to use their phones on a testing situation.
That took a little starch out of them.
it's unfortunate that had to happen, but
Jack, agree or disagree, don't you think those policies should be left up to local school districts, not some state mandate?
Well, of course, and certainly up to the individual classroom situation. This is, you know, our charge in all of the school systems, all the public schools, is to individualize instruction as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is even more of an issue here, because certainly kids got to learn to use electronics appropriately these days.
Yeah.
And that's a real critical thing.
Agree. Thank you, Jack. I appreciate the call as always. 855-752-4842. Last caller of the day, Troy in beautiful Mount Horeb. Troy, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Hello, the local control Republicans strike again.
Right.
Not to bring up a bad thing, but police get information sometimes from kids with phones during a school shooting.
No, you're right.
And if we take that away, maybe we take away a communication line for
them. Yeah, no, I agree with you, Troy. And to be fair to the author, Representative Kitchens, I haven't read verbatim the bill. I'm only going by the story here, that the synopsis of it, but it's reported that the bill by Kitchens would allow for having phones in cases of emergency. It's not clear whether that means it would be on their person or in the classroom or whatever. I don't necessarily disagree with his intent on this. I just don't know that it should be a statewide mandate, to your point. You know, as a as a former Republican, I just don't. Believe me, our teachers, our educators, our local school boards don't need yet another state mandate that they have to make sure that they're complying with, or they're going to get dinged. I trust our educators.
As the father of two teachers, I agree with you.
I appreciate that. I just think that those educators know their classroom. They can take care of it. And I trust our educators to get it done. Appreciate the call, Troy. As always, thank you so very much. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Out of time for today, but we appreciate everybody calling in and being with us. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. Susan Crawford, Supreme Court Justice candidate on Earl Ingram tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. We'll be back tomorrow from noon until 2, if the waters don't rise, and God willing. We appreciate everybody. For Zommers, I'm All Ball. Thank you to Trigvi Olson, Pat Kreitlow. Remember, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow. Banging on your drum. Keep banging on. And your day will come. Keep banging on. Banging on your drum. And they will hear you. A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach. Coming up on the show, Angela Lang from Block Black Leaders Organizing Communities joins me to talk about not good test scores coming out of the city of Milwaukee. Join us. Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump, speaking at the White House, expected to sign the Lake and Riley Act into law.
Will become the very first bill that I proudly sign into law as the 47th president of the United States.
ABC's Karen Travers has more on the law.
The Lake and Riley Act is named for the 22-year-old Georgia nursing student who was killed by an undocumented migrant. It requires ICE to detain undocumented migrants accused of theft and violent crimes. The president appeared with Riley's family last year and has made her story a key part of his immigration and border security message.
During his speech, President Trump also touting his first week in office, saying he signed 350 executive orders since taking office. Some are facing legal challenges, including his directive to temporarily freeze federal funding. ABC News has obtained a memo by the OMB saying it's rescinding that executive order on the pause in federal funding. In Israel, families of hostages say that they have the names of three more hostages expected to be released tomorrow. This is ABC News.